You guys can have a seat. My name is Philip, and I'm a follower of Jesus, and I'm excited you're here today. We're going to be looking at Psalm 51. If you want to open up your Bible or the Bible app, we're glad you're here. We want you to be able to read along in the verses, because at this church, we believe Genesis to Revelation, the whole Bible, applies to our life, and it has this ability to speak down to the depths of our soul and work on our mind and change who we are. We want you to be able to follow along. So if you don't have your Bible or the Bible app, we're going to put the verses on the screen, because we want you to be able to follow along with us. And so Psalm 51, it's going to be roughly toward the middle of your Bible if you're newer to the Bible. Psalm 51, verse 17 says, "The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God." And the guy who's writing these verses, this moment, is King David. And what King David has done is he's slept with another man's wife and conceived a child with her, and then to try to cover up, he's had her husband killed. And so that's what he's done that's led him to the verses that you see here, that he says, God, a sacrifice, something that honors you, something that pleases you. After all the sins he's done, he says, what pleases you, God, is a broken heart, a repentant heart. But here's the problem for us as human beings is sometimes we only get half this verse right. We'll accept the brokenness and we'll say, this is always who I'm going to be, but there's not a repentance that turns from our way. We accept brokenness as part of our identity. But David in this verse is not saying what my identity will always be is an adulterer or a murderer. He's saying that's not always going to be part of my identity. It's what I've done and it's led me to brokenness, but I'm turning from my ways. It's going to be part of my past because God is going to do something in my life. And whether you're online or here in the building, you may have accepted brokenness as part of your identity, and that's only half of what God's looking for. He's looking for, are you willing to turn from those ways? There's a healing that can take place out of our brokenness, and quite frankly, the verses are showing brokenness is a good thing. God can meet us right there in that brokenness. And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you're new, this will be your first time here, but if you've been coming for a while, you know God's about to move, because I've got a title of the message, which the last time this happened was probably like 1993, okay? I'm not one that titles the message. So you know God's going to be in it. The title of this message is The Broken Soul That Can Find Healing. The Broken Soul That Can Find Healing. And so I want to talk to you today about Gideon. Gideon is this guy that is in the Old Testament. If you want to know the verses, it's coming from the book of Judges. If you want to write that in your notes. But Gideon is this person, and we find his story at a very interesting time. The Israelites have gotten into the promised land, and now they're getting their butt kicked by the people of Midian. I mean, the people of Midian are absolutely destroying the people of Israel, and things have gotten so bad that when we pick up the story of Gideon, we find Gideon, he's hiding to try to thresh some wheat. So he's just hiding because the Midianite people keep sweeping through, taking all the livestock, all the food, all their possessions. They have nothing. So Gideon is hiding, and he's just trying to make a couple breadsticks. Amen? Because when we get our butts kicked in life, a little bit of carbs can be a comfort. Somebody say amen. We can be honest, okay? Okay, so Gideon, he just wants a little comfort food. And I understand if you know me, I love carbs, okay? I love Jesus and my family and the Lord and then some carbs, okay? The Lord's working on self-control in my life. Amen. Ain't God working on anybody else's life? He's working on self-control in my life, okay? So maybe I don't need 18 breadsticks at Olive Garden, okay? Somebody said whatever. That's right. I mean, we don't have to receive that. Maybe we do need 18 breadsticks. We'll pray through it today. The Lord can meet with us and speak into that. We'd like some revelation. But we find Gideon, and what happens when life begins to kick your butt so much, scarcity mindset can set in. That we don't serve a God of abundance anymore. I've got to try to just cling to what little I have. And so that's what happens to Gideon. They're getting their butt kicked so much that he's got a scarcity mindset. I've just got to hold on to what little bit I have. And he's in hiding. And then in Judges chapter 6, verse 12, we see the Lord shows up. And in verse 12, it says, "When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, 'The Lord is with you, mighty warrior.'" "Pardon me, my Lord? Pardon me," says Gideon. "Are you kidding me?" He says, But if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened? Why are we getting our butt kicked? Why are we losing our livestock? Why am I having to hide to protect my breadsticks? What has God done for us? Where are all his wonders and his all the stuff our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord's abandoned us, and he's given us into the hand of Midian. And the Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? Pardon me, my Lord, Gideon said. But how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my family. And the Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down the Midianites, leaving none alive. Here's the thing as human beings. We all wrestle with three views. Every one of us as a human being wrestles with these three views. What others say we are, who we think we are, and who God knows we are. Every last one of us wrestles with these three views. What others say we are, who we think we are, and who God knows we are. See, Gideon's circumstances have told him, you're the smallest, you're a nobody, you're the weakest, your identity according to your circumstances is somebody who cannot do anything and you are going nowhere. That's what his circumstances have told Gideon. God shows up and says, you're a mighty warrior. And Gideon goes, pardon me? In the most polite way he possibly can say, he says, God, you're crazy. You're crazy. And then he tries to politely, in a respectful way, tell the Lord God Almighty, God, if you really were so powerful and you knew what you were talking about, we wouldn't have lost everything. I wouldn't have to be hiding, protecting breadsticks right now if you were an all-powerful God. Don't come and try to tell me that I'm a mighty warrior. We're losing battles every single year, God. And God says, no, you're a mighty warrior. You're a mighty warrior. Go in the strength you have. See, God's put some stuff already in your life that you don't know exists because you're looking at your circumstances, not the Lord. When God shows up, he doesn't have some magical wand he waves or does anything crazy or supernatural. He just goes, I'm going to speak to the identity I already put in you, Gideon. Go in the strength I've already given you when I created you in your mother's womb. There are some things God's already put in your life that you don't even know because we're looking at our circumstances and we're operating out of a broken soul. And a broken soul can't receive what God's already put in us. A broken soul can't receive what God wants to do through us. And David, that's why David was saying, you've got to take a broken heart, you've got to take a repentant heart before the Lord, and he can do a new thing. Are you holding on to brokenness in your life? A broken soul because of what people said or did to you? You're holding on to a broken soul in your life because this is what you think about yourself? Or is there a part of you that says, what does God know about me? What does God know about me? Because it's going to be buried beneath a lot of my circumstances. It's going to be buried beneath the things that have been done to me. It's going to be buried beneath the other views of my life. God knows about me. He's just at the bottom of the food chain trying to eat a couple breadsticks, and God says, you're a mighty warrior, and in the strength I've already put in you, you're going to deliver the people of Israel. And the thing is, when things start to go from bad to worse in our life, it can be hard to receive what God wants to do. It can be hard to receive what God wants to do when things start to go from bad to worse and our circumstances get overwhelming. But Gideon eventually starts to go, okay, I'll do what God's asking. He's struggling with the faith. He's struggling to fully believe. But he says, I'm going to do what God is asking me to do. And we pick up the story again in Judges chapter 7. It says in verse 1, so Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, they've renamed him. Because one of the things that Gideon did when God responded is he went and tore down the idols and the altar they were worshiping other gods in. Because God said, I'm going to do a new thing. I'm going to bring victory. But the first thing we're going to deal with is idolatry in your life. This has got to go if you want to see victory. You got to stop worshiping false gods. And so he goes and does that. And this is how the people respond. They want to kill him. So they rename him, and basically his name means, may Baal deal with him. So they rename him, may the idol we're worshiping, who we've submitted to, who, by the way, is getting our butt kicked, let's submit to him, God will deal with Gideon. And God's like, oh, I'm going to deal with him, but I'm going to deal with y'all too. And so his army got up early and went as far as the spring of Herod. And the armies of Midian were camped north of them in the valley near the hill of Moreh. And the Lord said to Gideon, you have too many warriors with you. It doesn't say this, but I'm sure Gideon was thinking, pardon me? We got too many warriors. We haven't won a battle since like 1993. Are you kidding me? I got too many warriors. And God says, you've had too many warriors. And he explains himself. If I let you fight, all of you with the Midianites, the Israelites will boast to me that they saved themselves by their own strength. Therefore, tell the people, whoever is timid or afraid, leave this mountain and go home. Whoa. 22,000 of them went home, leaving only 10,000 who were willing to fight. But the Lord told Gideon, there are still too many. Pardon me, my Lord, he's thinking. And the Lord says, bring them down to the spring, and I'll test them to determine who will go with you and who will not. And when Gideon put all those who cup the water in their hands and lap it up with their tongues like dogs, and in the other group put all those who kneel down and drink with their mouths in the stream, and only 300 of the men drank from their hands. And all the others got down on their knees and drank with their mouths in the stream. And then the Lord told Gideon, with these 300 men, I will rescue you and give you victory over the Midianites. Send all the others home. So Gideon collected the provisions and ram's horns of the other warriors and sent them home, but he kept 300 men with him. Put yourself in his shoes. God has shown up when you guys are getting your butt kicked, you're trying to protect breadsticks, and you've got nothing really left, and God says, you're a mighty warrior. And all of us go, you crazy. But the good news is God amasses a force of 32,000. And you're like, this is good news. Okay, we got some people. I'm a mighty warrior. Maybe God's got some identities of mighty warriors and the other people. He's going to do a new thing. We got 32,000 because I did leave it out. But the context of the verses is the Midianites, they don't even have a number. There's so many of them, they couldn't count them. Okay, so that's what we're up against. But with 32,000, we know God used to do miracles. Maybe with 32,000 that he can do this. God's called me to be a mighty warrior. And then God says, you have too many people. You kidding me? We got too many people? Here's what God's doing, though. Because God's already said the victory's coming. What God is saying is, I'm going to develop you so that you can carry the calling on your life without it destroying you. Because here's the thing, God may have a calling on your life, he may have a purpose for your life, but what happens is some of us take it and use it for ourselves and it goes to our head. It's not the fact that God didn't put something in them. It's not the fact that God didn't give them a strength, is that they didn't have the strength to carry the calling. And God says, I love you enough to not do that in your life. So I'm going to develop you to the point where you can't try to take this for yourself. Because that's our human nature, is we want God to move, and then God finally moves, and we start trying to add it to our resume like it's something we did. And God says, that's not why I'm moving. It's not for your glory, it's for my glory. Gideon, I didn't call you to be a mighty warrior for you to be hot stuff. I called you to be a mighty warrior to remind the people of my glory. And God may know who you are and speak it into your life, but he's also loving enough to try to develop the character in you so that you can accomplish what he's called you to without it destroying you. And God is working in Gideon's life, and it's going to cost him. Can you imagine watching 22,000 soldiers go home? Let's be real. I mean, I would have needed extra deodorant that day. I'd be sweating. I'd be like, 22,000 going home, I'd be having a small panic attack. And then I'd about pass out when God said, you still have too many. I'd be like, I must be hearing God wrong. I must be something in the wine press I had that day. This can't be right. And you got to send another 10,000 home. Listen, don't miss this lesson. Faith in the Lord will always cost you early in your actions. Faith in the Lord will always cost you early in your actions. Here's what I mean by that is we inherently as humans want to operate out of human logic and human comfort. You want to see God move in your life. There's a gap between your human logic and the provision of God. There's a gap. And that gap is faith of trusting in God and not your own logic. Human logic would have said we need more than 32,000. Human logic would have said, we need to go buy mercenaries, hire them out. We need more people is what human logic says because we've been getting our butt kicked. But faith cost him early to say, God, I'm going to trust you enough that I'm going to send home 31,700 troops. We're going to be down to 300 people, and I'm going to trust you before the battle happens. Faith is going to cost you early in actions. Before the battles happen, sometimes God's going to say, are you going to trust me? Are you going to trust me to develop you and grow you into who I know you can be? Because I've put it in you. Faith is going to cost you early in your actions because we all wrestle with three views. We all wrestle with three views. Who others say we are, who we think we are, and who God knows we are. See, Gideon's not the only one who has this happen in his life. I'm going to tell you point blank, I believe whether you're online or in the building, God's already speaking to some of you guys. And he's speaking into your life and he says, you're holding on to brokenness, but I know who you are. It's going to cost you some faith to come out of that. It's going to cost you some faith of giving up on some human logic to step into who I'm calling you to be because we're all wrestling and buying into, well, this is what other people have said, this is what other people have done, seems to be true. This is who I think I am. I was praying this morning, and I believe the Lord said, there's somebody who's going to come today, and they're wrestling with self-loathing. They hate themselves. And God said, that is not my calling for you, and that is not who I know you to be. And he's going to set you free of that today. So, who does God know you to be? And when it comes to God setting Israel free, he's also setting Gideon free of who Gideon thought he was. See, God is doing some things simultaneously in our lives. It's hard to see. But God is simultaneously saying, Gideon, I'm going to develop you into the identity of who I know you are. I'm going to take you from a broken soul to a healthy soul because we can't have a healthy soul when we're operating in the wrong views. You will always end up with a broken soul when you operate out of what people say you are. You'll end up with a broken soul when you operate out of what you think you are. The only way to have a healthy soul is to operate out of who God knows you are. That's the only way to a healthy soul. We live in a broken world because there's a lot of us as people who are operating out of the wrong view. We've come into agreement with either what people have said or done. We've come into agreement with what we think about ourselves. We've not come into agreement with who does God know we are. Provision from the Lord doesn't mean painless. God is trying to bring provision in your life. He's trying to bring health, healing to your soul level, but it's not going to be a painless process. Do you think it didn't pain Gideon to watch the Lord send home all of those troops? Because the Lord said, your provision will not be in what you can provide. Your provision will be what I can provide. And it's going to cost you in faith. And it's going to be painful. But I'm going to work some things in your life to develop you to know to trust in me alone. And sometimes we don't want that. As soon as the process starts to get painful, we want to run from it. But it's going to be healthy in the end. So I was reading through this. I really felt like I could not shake Ephesians chapter 2. And you can write it down in your notes. You can turn there if you want to. It's not a long book, but it's toward the end of the back of your Bible. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Don't miss this. He says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Underline or highlight this. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Not you guys, but somebody else. Humans, we struggle with trying to be good enough. And that mentality, point blank, has permeated into American Christianity so much. You can earn your salvation. Or we may say it like this, you need a savior to be saved, but once you get saved, now go in your own strength and do it. And when I started hearing that in Christian, I'm like, do you not understand the gospel? The gospel is, we have no hope apart from Jesus. We're not going to be good enough. It's not, we need a little sprinkling from Jesus and then we'll be good enough. It's we're never going to be good enough. We're always going to need Jesus. And salvation is a gift that is not earned. It's not, God looks down and says, oh, I kind of like the work those people are doing. We're going to bless them with some salvation in the name of Jesus. It's all of us as humanity need Jesus, and it's a gift that's freely offered because of what Jesus did on the cross, and you and I will never be good enough to earn it. But the good news is it's freely offered. The good news is not only is salvation freely offered, salvation is setting this new path of who God knows we can be in a masterpiece. A masterpiece. It's the God who could move in Psalm 51 in the life of King David, who's broken and repentant, and take someone who is willing to sacrifice brokenness and repentance and offer a broken soul to the Lord. And he says, I can take that through salvation and make a masterpiece. That's who God is. But see, God doesn't operate that way in our life if you still want to buy in and submit to what other people say you are. You're not going to experience that masterpiece of who God can make you if you're going to submit to who you always think you are. You'll experience that masterpiece when you go, God, I need you to save me and change me and make me into who you know I can be. And I'm going to trust in you and not my own ways. Then this beautiful process begins in our life where even in Psalm 51, someone who had committed adultery and slept with another man's wife and conceived a child and killed the husband, someone in that level of brokenness could become a masterpiece. That's not human logic. You want good news? Salvation is not human logic. Salvation is the way of the kingdom of heaven, not the way of this world. The way of this world would tell you, you do not deserve grace. The way of the kingdom says, that wasn't the question, it's freely offered. Oh, that's good news. That's good news. I sense this tension. This tension of, you've always believed what other people have said about you. I sense this tension of you've always believed what you've thought about yourself. It's hard to give up that grip of that mentality, that identity, the broken soul. It's all you've ever known. And God's saying, I know who you are. And it's not what they've said. I know who you are, and it's not what you think. If you'll submit to my process and my ways, I will build you to be a masterpiece that I know you are. But you're going to have to let go. You're going to have to let go and submit. King David, in that brokenness and repentance, and that's a church word that means turning from your ways. And some of your ways is holding on to the brokenness, thinking that's all that's ever going to be. It's actually submitting to God, going, God, all I actually have to offer you is complete brokenness. And I want to turn from my ways and I want something different. Are you letting God develop your soul? Are you letting God develop your soul? Because I believe God wants to move in your life today. Not a year from now, not 3 years from now, not maybe he'll get around to it, not maybe if you earn it enough. He looks down at your brokenness right now and he says, do you want me to move in your life? Do you want to come into alignment with who I know you are because I created you? I knew you before all the mistakes that you've claimed as your identity. I've known you before all those things that happened to you. I know you before the sin in your life. I know you. Will you submit that brokenness to the Lord? Psalm 51:17 is where we started. And it says, the sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. The Bible says God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So many times we look at the external. God's like, I'll deal with the external when I change the internal. So many times we want to clean it up first and then try to give it to God and says, God's like, no, bring me the brokenness off the bat. Bring me the heart that truly at its core desires me to move in their life. Bring me that and I'll work and I'll mold and I'll change. You see, the very thing we think disqualifies us, it doesn't. The very thing we think disqualifies us may be the very thing that qualifies us to be used by God. Amen. A broken and repentant heart. So many times we go, God can't use me. Do you know me? Do you know my circumstances? Do you know where I'm at in life? Do you know the things that I've done? Do you understand that? And I'm like, but do you understand you couldn't earn salvation? Do you understand whether you're a little broken or a lot broken, you're still broken and need a Savior? Do you understand the good news is that it's freely offered, regardless of our, quote, definition of brokenness? Do you understand that God knows who you are and is trying to speak into your life right now, saying, bring me your brokenness and a repentant heart. Bring me a heart that wants something different than what you have right now. He says, bring me that. The kingdom of heaven is for the hungry. The kingdom of heaven is those wanting God to move. The kingdom of heaven is not for those who think they can be good enough. The kingdom of heaven is for those who know they can't be good enough. Jesus teaches point blank. He says, I'm not here for the healthy. I'm here for those who know they're sick and know they're sinners. That's what Jesus said. That's who I'm here for. Because the reality is that people who know they need a Savior tend to respond to Jesus. Amen. It's the people who think, I probably am good, I'm probably good enough, I probably can do this on my own, that will miss the kingdom of heaven time and time again. The question is not, are you good enough? The question is, are you willing to admit you're not? Amen. And saying, God, I want to know what you know. God, I want to come into alignment not with what people say, not with what people have done, not with what I've done, not with what I think. I want to come into alignment with God, who you know me to be. I want to be that. And I'm hungry for that, and I want to change, and I'll bring you my brokenness, and I'm going to turn from my ways, and I want to see what God can do with my life. That's what God's looking for right now in this day and age, and that's what he's birthing in human humanity. That's what he's doing right now. It's will you respond. As I close out, I'm not an artist. I have no musical talents. You can ask our worship team who hears me. That's why I stand next to the speaker when I worship. You're like, why is he up front? It's because no one needs to hear me, okay? I got a lot of joyful and a lot of noise. I got no musical talents. I peaked artistically in the third grade. I came in third place and won a $10 gift card to get a milkshake at a local ice cream shop. I peaked artistically in the third grade. But there's this form of art I learned about, It's this Japanese form of art. And ever since I learned about it, it has always just wrecked me with this visual realization of the kingdom of heaven. It's called kintsugi. And kintsugi is where the pottery has become broken. And obviously, if you know anything about pottery, you and I, we don't have to be potters. Once pottery's broken, it can't hold anything. It can't do anything. It's broken. But if you'll take the broken pottery and give the pieces back to the artist, to the potter, they remake the pottery using gold. And in kintsugi, the remade pottery becomes more valuable than it was before it was broken. And I just feel like the Lord is saying, the problem is not your brokenness, it's will you give it to me so that I can remake you into something more valuable than you were before. And some of us are holding on to the brokenness, saying, this is who I am. This is who I'm always going to be. And God is saying, no, give me the brokenness and I will remake you into something more valuable than you were before. If you will step into what I know you to be, I can make you a masterpiece because that's what I see. But honestly, the problem is not God's ability to do that. It's some of us want to hold on to the brokenness because it's all we've ever known and it's all we ever think we're going to be. And God today is saying, give me the brokenness. Give me all the pieces of it, not parts of it. Give me all the brokenness in your life and I will remake it into who I know you're called to be. And so as we close out, worship team, if you want to come back up, what we're going to have is just a moment that's a little bit different. I don't know the church background you're from. One of the blessings of Vertical Church is we come from all kinds of different backgrounds. I don't know what you come in expecting or believing that God can do. But what we're going to do is if you know that God is speaking into your life this morning, if you know He's telling you, give me the brokenness. Stop believing what people have said about you. Stop believing what people have done to you. Stop believing what you think about yourself. Bring me the brokenness, and I will make you into who I know you are called to be. If that's you this morning, I want to ask you to stand up and come forward. And our prayer team and me, we're going to pray over you that the chains break in your life, that strongholds break, and that God is going to help you step into your new identity. I get it. It's uncomfortable. I get it that it's different than what churches do. I'm not interested in what churches normally do. I'm interested in what God wants to do. And so if He's speaking to you and you know He's working on your heart, stand up, come forward, and we're going to pray over you, and you're going to start to step into your new God-given identity. So worship team, you can start to pray. If that's you, I understand. Just come forward. I'm going to meet you right down front, and we're going to pray. Otherwise, it's just going to be me down here praying, and we're going to ask God to move either way. Anyway. Mm-hmm.